training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about a theological, doctrinal, biblical subject that many have avoided and failed to understand. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And then the bottom line is we're talking about grieve not the Holy Spirit. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, people don't realize when Jesus told the disciples to wait before he left, to wait for the Holy Spirit that's going to guide us to the truth, to follow that. That's my comment, and God bless you.
Have a nice God bless day. You. Thank you so much. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit comes, to, as Jesus said, to guide you into all truth. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that illumines our hearts. In fact, one of the things that I think is so vital in biblical study, and many, I believe, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis overlook this factor, it's when you sit down and start to read the Bible and study the Bible, unless there's the illumination of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, multitudes of philosophies and thoughts will come to a person's mind as to what that scripture is saying. There's not but one interpretation of Scripture. There's many applications, but only one interpretation, according to 1 Peter text, verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And yet there are multitudes today, Dr. Phelps would say, there's many interpretations. No, no, no. There's one interpretation, and it takes the guidance and the illumination of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is the reason that we need to understand the work of the Holy Spirit, to understand what the Apostle Paul, as is right under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says to the church at Ephesus, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, the Holy Spirit loves us. He leads us. In fact, in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it talks about leading us. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. So, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, if the Holy Spirit is the one that does the illumination, if the Holy Spirit is the one that does the guiding of us into all truth, if a person has not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, they do not have the Holy Spirit, and therefore they're walking in darkness. In fact, the early portion of Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians, the second chapter, talks about, as I use the term, dead men walking in darkness. And there are a lot of dead men walking in darkness today. What say you, Dr. Davis?
Well, once again, we have to understand, except the Spirit of God is dwelling within us, that we are just lost. I mean, let's just not beat around the bush about it. You need to know that you're simply not saved if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. He is the agent of change. There must be a change. When any person receives the Spirit of God, he's not the same. When we look at the scriptures, even the Apostle Paul, when he met Jesus out on Damascus Road, and when he was filled with the Spirit, he wasn't the same person. He went about persecuting the church in the first beginning, but he ended up being one of the greatest advocates that the church could ever receive down through the years. And that's the reason why we have to understand it's very important for you to be able to receive the Spirit of God if you want to be saved.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things, and Dr. Phelps, I want you to respond to it. The Holy Spirit, as I've used the term down through the years, starts and stops the direction of a Christian. In fact, I'm looking at Acts chapter 16, verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Explain that to us.
Well, when the Bible says that the Spirit suffered him not, I think, as I understand that phrase, means that he didn't allow them to. He was not leading in that direction.
Stopped him.
Yes.
In fact, and for those that perhaps are not familiar with the book of Acts, and especially the 16th chapter, the nation of Russia would have been evangelized and would have had the gospel had it not been for the Holy Spirit of God stopping the Apostle Paul and redirecting. And then we have the text where it talks about the one that is saying, come over, and what's called the Macedonian call. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And that was the redirection of the Apostle Paul's life and ministry with the Holy Spirit of God in charge, in control. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but many times when we're tempting to do something and it seems the door's shut, I'm going to pause for a minute. Anybody ever had that to happen? You feel that you're doing what God wants you to do and the door slams shut. Sometimes it could be a demonic activity to prevent us from doing what God wants us to do. But many times, Dr. Phelps, it could very well be the Holy Spirit of God shutting the door and redirecting our lives. And most of the time, Christians are not alert enough to recognize when the Holy Spirit is working that says, nope, there's another direction. I'm going to stop you. What do you say?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The Bible teaches us that the people of God are led by the Spirit of God. And that includes a lot of explanation there that we could make. But, you know, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we choose to act independent of the Spirit of God. We not only many times ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit, but we also grieve Him by choosing to be led by the flesh instead of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
I believe that's one of the great things that we need to be careful about. We have two natures as a Christian, and that'll be true until the day that Jesus comes and we have a new body.
Right.
Until the day of redemption. We have the Spirit of God who wants to lead us and do the will of God, but on the other hand, we have the contrary to that, which is the flesh, wanting us to do our own will, to go our own way, to walk independently of the Lord. And many times we forget that. God has a way for us to behave, and that's in the Spirit. We're actually, you know, Christian begins in the Spirit because we're born again.
That's
the work of the Holy Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We grow spiritually because the Spirit of God shows us the truth. And if we do not rely upon the Holy Spirit who wants to lead us and help us, and rather depend upon the energy of the flesh, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We do not please God that way. So many people today, and I speak this by experience, through the years, there were times when I did not allow the Spirit of God to lead me. I lived according to the flesh. I chose my own way. I lived independently of God. And that certainly grieves the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Now let's go back to the text, Dr. Davis, in Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, the seal is that we're in the hand of God. No man can pluck us out of God's hand. But we're looking at the seal. Nobody can, that seal cannot be broken. And it means that it's a sign of ownership, of it's a transaction that's taken place, and we're sealed once we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But Dr. Davis, respond first of all, then we'll go around the round table and talk about it further. What does it mean where Paul says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to grieve not?
Well, if we consider that the Holy Spirit is God and he has feelings, it hurts the heart of God anytime believers who have been filled with the Spirit continue to walk in error contrary to what they should have learned from the Scriptures. Now, again, we have to understand that God's Word is truth and it'll never fail. And if we only just walk in it, obey it, just do what it says, then we can live a life totally flawless, without sin. People don't understand that. Some people say that there ain't no man perfect. Nobody's perfect. And I think sometimes people look for an excuse not to do right. But if we are led by the Spirit of God, if we walk in the Spirit daily, and I understand that no one is ever spiritual 24/7, but we have to understand still we have to yield ourselves over to the power of the Holy Spirit. Whenever he speaks, then we respond and we do what he tells us to do, because he's always leading us and guiding us in the path of truth and righteousness.
Absolutely.
I have never known God to lead us down a dead-end road.
Absolutely. What you're saying is we have a volitional choice, and we need to make a choice, or we should make a choice each and every day, to be led by the Spirit, to be filled. In fact, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And it's a command. It's in the imperative voice. We need to be filled with the Spirit, and if we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to be led by the Spirit. We're going to walk in the Spirit. But one of the things that you touched on that I think needs to be illumined a little more for our listeners, the Holy Spirit of God is a person. It is a person, not just a phantom figure. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That means the Holy Spirit has feelings. It is, and the word grieve there simply means to cause to feel sorrow, to be pained, to be unhappy, to be distressed. Because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, Holy Spirit can be quenched. What does that mean, Dr. Phelps?
Well, that means that he will no longer feel welcome to act in your behalf. He will, it's as though we're saying, no, I don't need the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives or in a congregation or among God's people. It means that we are refusing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm so thankful that the Scriptures teach us about the activity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in my life and in yours. One of the great truths I'd like to insert here at this time is I'm so thankful to know that the Spirit of God is involved in my life. The Father loved us, and he sent his Son to be our Savior, the Bible teaches. The Son loves us and came in obedience to the great plan of God, and he shed his precious blood for us.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit then seals us unto the day of redemption.
Absolutely.
I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit involved in my life, and I want to take advantage of all that God has in store for my life.
Absolutely. And going back to the word quench for the Holy Spirit, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I'm looking at Isaiah chapter 63, Isaiah 63, verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 63, 9 and 10. In all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of the of his presence saved them. In his love and in the pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the day of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to their enemy, and he fought against them. It is the fact that the Holy Spirit can be quenched and rebelled against. And that is something that I believe most Christians never give consideration to, without the realization and the recognition, because the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. which means to be made sorrowful, to be pained, be made unhappy, distressed. And the scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit can be grieved and quenched. That word quenched, Dr. Davis, Dr. Phelps just touched on it, but what does it mean to be quenched? I would use the term, and you can elaborate on it, to be shut off, like turning a hose faucet off. To be shut off, Holy Spirit can be quenched, turned off, rebelled against, rejected. What are your thoughts?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly the direction that my mind was going. Christians don't realize that when you quench the Spirit, to me, that means you are watering down His power. You are taking away His ability to function in the full power of God, because God is almighty and all-powerful. Therefore, there is nothing impossible to anyone that will believe and obey. So simply, to quench the Spirit means to have a form of godliness, but we are denying the power thereof. Mm-hmm. So that's what we need to understand. It's dangerous when we quench the Spirit and don't allow Him to function like God wants to function in our lives.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at the unit of thought in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and I want you to follow with me, and then I want you to comment. The Apostle Paul says in chapter 4, I'm going to back up to about verse 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor working with his own hands the things which is good, and that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used to edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Verse 30 then says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit." So tell us, tell our listeners, Dr. Phelps, grieving the Holy Spirit can be in what form? What happens? I've just made a little statement, and I want you to elaborate on it. Holy Spirit can be lied to. Person can tell a lie. He's grieving the Holy Spirit. Can steal. And the scripture says here, don't steal. The Apostle Paul, before he gets to the summary statement, as I call it, the command statement, the imperative statement found in the Greek text, is grieve not the Holy Spirit. He's saying these things don't do. Am I right?
Yes, sir. We're given an imperative. That is a command that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. And what God is telling us is for our own well-being. He tells us for our own good. To do so will mean that we act contrary to the will of God. When we grieve the Spirit of God, we forfeit the fellowship of God, as did the rebellious people in the wilderness when they decided, no, we are not going to go in there and fight with the people to take over the land that you promised us. So what we need to realize is that that passage just read is talking about the renewing of the Holy Spirit, something that we need. It's in Romans chapter 12, it's the renewing of transformation. There's a word that's used there in the original that's from the word metamorphosis that we use in our English language. The Holy Spirit is involved in the work of renewing us so that we're so transformed within and also eventually without, inside and out. God wants us to be made completely a new creation. The word is also used in Philippians chapter 3, and verses 18 and 19, where Paul talked about the transformation of our body. When Jesus comes, we're going to have a new body, and it's going to be like His.
Right.
God wants us to be transformed we're going to have a body that's like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all because God has in mind to make us completely in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So what we read here in the passage in Ephesians is about that renewing. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we decide we're going to continue in the ways of the old man, lifestyle.
In fact, Dr. Phelps, in the continuing verse after the verse 30 in Ephesians, it talks about grieve not the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God through Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So that identifies how you can grieve the Holy Spirit.
Well, we grieve the Holy Spirit by not doing what God tells us. God wants us to act differently. We are to behave ourselves just like Christ would. We represent Him in this world, and to be a testimony, we need to, the life of Christ needs to be seen in us. And when we allow God to do that in our lives, allow the power of the Holy Spirit to so transform our lives, then we bring glory and honor to God. Absolutely. Otherwise, we just dishonor God. We defame His name. God wants us to be completely transformed in our minds and in our behavior so that we are little Christs. Right? And we are a testimony. We are a witness to the world.
Becoming more like Him every day. Dr. Davis, I'm sure that you've done this, and I know that Dr. Phelps has. I know that I've experienced it. You're standing in the pulpit, you're preaching, you're exegeting the text, you're trying to bring about the scripture to be embraced by the audience, those that are present. And I've sensed on some occasions where it was cold and dead as far as the feeling, the sense of the working of the Holy Spirit. I personally believe it's as a result of so many that seated, that say they're saved, and yet their life is filled with that which quenches the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is quenched, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and according to this unit of thought we're looking at, the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Holy Spirit says, the Apostle Paul says, stop stealing, stop speaking harsh words, stop the slander, stop the evil, stop the anger, stop the evil behavior, stop sinful thoughts. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I believe out of everything that's been said, even with the way that Dr. Phelps just explained it and all, and what you just got finished saying, Christians error because of verse number 20, mm-hmm. Ephesians 4 and 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Amen.
Right.
You have to learn who Christ is. You have to learn and understand and know. When He came, He said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. The Bible says that when we are born again, that we are not our own, that we were bought with the price. And when God bought us with that price, He gave us that Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of promise. And can I say it like this? He made a down payment on your soul, and He sealed you until the day of redemption so that when Christ comes, He's going to claim everything that belongs to Him, spirit,
right,
soul, and body. Nothing is going to be left behind. Even the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and they're going back with Him. And we, which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and
Amen.
So shall we ever be with Him. So we have to understand, let us make no mistake. When we see all of these things happening, and I'm with you on that, there are many times I've stood there, and it looks like I'm trying to reach people, and I'm trying to tell them, but listen, all I'm going to do is preach the word like the Bible tells me to do, and once I've done that, it's up to them to accept it or reject it. And if you reject the word, you're not rejecting me, but you're rejecting God, and you're standing at a dangerous point in your life at that time when you reject God, because one day the call is going to go off. The Spirit's not going to, in other words, openly invite anyone to come and be saved anymore. And when that call goes off, it's going to be too bad and so sad for many individuals, because they're going to realize that they have wasted their time and they're going to end up in the devil's hell.
Absolutely. One of the things that Dr. Phelps, I believe that people need to understand and our listening audience today is that multitudes as Christians do not recognize that simply a failure to be obedient to God the Father, God the Son, through the work of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is being quenched, where there's the lying, cheating, stealing, harsh words, slander, anger, evil behavior, all of this that's outlined in chapter 4, verse 22 and following. And then the summary thought from the Apostle Paul is, grieve not the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I go back to, Dr. Phelps, and we'll wrap up on this thought, if you and Dr. Davis would give us some thoughts on that. We need to produce and show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Right. What are we talking about when we say the fruit of the Spirit?
Well, the fruit of the Spirit has to do with the things that God wants us to produce through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We're told to not grieve the Spirit, but rather to allow the Spirit of God to lead us and help us in our Christian life. And so we need to allow the Spirit of God to do His work of producing those fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, and things like that. So we need to be careful that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And here are some ways. I'd like to just mention them briefly.
Right.
Our unloving ways. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about loving ways.
Right.
God's way is to be like Christ. And we grieve the Spirit of God when we don't do what God tells us. And also because of unclean lives. According to 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, when we don't allow the Spirit of God to control us, it means that we actually despise the Spirit of God.
Absolutely.
In our lives.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, we got about 40 seconds. If you would take these moments, speak to our audience and wrap us up today.
Well, Scripture also says in Ephesians 5 and verse number 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Listen, when the world sees a Christian, they ought to be able to see Christ. Our job is to reflect Christ back to the world. I tell believers all the time that I meet each and every day, we are to set the bar for the rest of the world. When the world wants to see God, they ought to be able to look at a Christian and say, that's God.
Amen.
That's a child of God. I know what I'm looking at. Make no mistake about it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Thank you so much.
This is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast.